And she's going to talk to us tonight about, she said something that's been on her mind lately. It's got to do with you. So please give it up for Loria.
You all are my friends, but yes, you are my friends. First off, thank you, everybody. My name is L'Oreal, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic and addict. I have two diseases. First off, I'd like to start. I was trying to get the quote, the saying right, but from what I said a minute ago, I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. But in order to keep what we got to give something away. Oh, he disappeared. Okay. So I would like to give this tip away tonight. Nina Lopez, will you come up here, please?
You guys don't know.
If you guys don't know, Nina, she was who I followed. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't be working the job I worked at today if it wasn't for her. You know, I would go through it and struggle while I was in treatment, and she'd come walk through the door in the middle of the meeting and share her story, what she was going through, and it helped me. It helped me fight every day. She just came back into these rooms, and I'm very grateful. And here you go. And I love you. All right. All right. Thank you, ladies. Or I'm used to being at home or at work. So, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start off. Was what it was like, right?
Huh?
What it was like. Somebody's talking to me on here. You know, when I came into these rooms in 2018, I had no plans of staying here. You know, my first meeting I attended was this meeting. It was back at the Ice House, and we called it prom back then, so we would get dressed up and be able to go outside of the house and mingle. That was what attracted me up. First, you know, I needed to get away from the house. I came into the rooms not like females. I didn't like females. So, finally, you know, I stuck around long enough to where I could relate to a lot of people. So growing up, this is their first meeting, right? You guys never been to a meeting before? So, I'm super nervous and extra sensitive tonight. Growing up, I at 2 years old, my parents divorced. So, pretty much, to me, I grew up in a broken home. You know, my mom and dad divorced due to my dad's addiction, and he was an addict. And at the same time when my mom and my dad split up, my grandpa also died. And so my mom was a single mom, working 90 hours a week to support us. But she went to the bar 6 nights a week. She hasn't came to acceptance yet, but my mom's an alcoholic. Was an alcoholic. You know, she used to say things growing up I can remember and say, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a professional drinker. Bacardi's my party, gin's my friend, and Jack, get the hell away from me, you know? So growing up, my mom met my stepdad, and she continued to go to the bar. And she was out one night when I was 9 years old. I had my first cigarette
and my first drink of Bacardi. She would even put her lines to market, and we would still drink it. Me and my middle brother, fast forward a little more, sophomore year, I started breaking. So about 14, 15, my stepdad was not a bar goer. He probably drank, I could probably count on my hands the amount of times he's drank. And so she ended up putting a bar in our backyard, and it was on, you know. After I noticed my mom had been drinking, the people that would come over would put alcohol into the bathroom underneath the sink for me, and I would be in the bathroom drinking. That's after I knew I was going to come. That was after I knew my mom was drunk. How I knew she was drunk, her hair would be all greasy, and she'd be just laughing and throwing her head back, you know. Fun, but, you know, so I started drinking around 15, and at 16 I was taking it to school, drinking on the hay bales in ag, drinking in class. It didn't matter, just to have fun, just to numb that feeling. Let me go back to the broken family. You know, growing up, my mom had to fight me to go to school, and she worked so much, you know, she would try for an hour, and after that she had to go to work, so I would play possum, act like I was asleep, and then wake up when she'd leave. Sometimes my grandma would come knocking on the door and find me. So I always felt uncomfortable, you know, in the big book. It's been a while since I read my big book, I'm going to admit that right now, because of work and studying for my education. Anyways, in the big book, it talks about that uncomfortableness. I've heard it at meetings about not being comfortable in your skin, not feeling like others. And that all started when I started going to school, seeing my friends with their families. Even when they had broken families, they were still going to their mom's and their dad's house, and I didn't have that. Yeah, I had a great stepdad at 5 years old, but it just wasn't the same for me. And, you know, my mom would tell me, we'd have heart-to-heart conversations, and she would tell me about my dad's substance use, and that's why they were together. But still in the back of my mind, I had that just, he didn't love you or you didn't love him. That's what it was, and he was lying to me, you know? And I couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why me, you know? Everybody else has their families. And so I never liked going to school, really, because I didn't feel like everybody else. You know, it wasn't that I had, sophomore year, I got asked if I had problems with anybody, if that's why I wasn't going to school, and I'm like, no, those are the days I go. You know, I like comfort, but I don't like not feeling a part of. So, moving on, 18, I ended up moving out of my home at 17 and a half. I had a boyfriend, thought, I'm 17 and a half, you can't stop me now, I'm moving out. I ended up coming back to 18, and I got really bad into drinking. At the end of 18, I started experiencing with other substances, and I know this is AA, but this is part of my story, so I'm going to share about it. I hope nobody's offended by it at all. I won't try to glorify it, but this is just my story. So when I started experimenting with those other substances, I was making horrible decisions, and I ended up pregnant, and I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want to tell my mom. I didn't want to tell my family. So I ended up having a Medicaid abortion. And at first, when I had that decision in my hands, I thought it out for a week before I went, and I thought that was the best decision I could make. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything going for myself. The person I got pregnant with was an alcoholic who didn't even have his own son. So there was no way I was going to get that support, that help. So it messed with me a lot mentally and with my self-esteem. I started going harder into substances, and I continued to party until I met my husband. And when I met my husband, he had a 2-year-old daughter.
And it was the same age as my miscarriage, my medicated miscarriage. So I latched onto that and I fell in love with her. And I figured that this was my chance to make it up. So with, you know, the relationship, things going good in my life, and my husband and his family didn't really care for alcohol. They didn't, they frowned upon it. So it was easy to stay away. It was easy to stay away from substances. The one time I did do substances with my husband, it wasn't his thing and I wanted him. So I was done. But we became very toxic and abusive. When I first spoke at this meeting, I told you, I probably said he would beat me. Or when I first went into New Visions, I would say he beat me. But working my steps and taking accountability for my part, we both did it. I would verbally attack him at first and knock his ego and self-esteem down until he did it, and then I would do it first as well. So through all that, I watched my kids, my two get older, see it, you know, and it hurt me for them to see it. And so I would take off to my brother's and be gone for a couple of days and come back. And long story short, I ended up pregnant, not knowing, despite him. Every time I could, I would act like I was hurt. He would come for me. I would start putting my hands on him and go back and forth. And I went to my brother one time, and I knew something was wrong with my body. I was going through it. I had pain. I went to the doctor, and I had a miscarriage. And so I opened up to my husband, and I let him know what was going on, and we thought we could try it out again. We got back together, and 3 months later, I was pregnant, and we started being toxic again, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to lose another baby. I'm not going to let our children see this. So I made the decision to leave them. So that was at, I want to say 25. I was 3 months pregnant with my youngest, and I was 3 months pregnant. You know, I was still struggling with the separation. When we separated, I wasn't able to see my stepdaughter, and it hurt, and I couldn't cope, and I was pregnant, and it just hurt, and I would step into relationships. I almost did things I'm glad I did it. When it came to my youngest son's birth, anyways, so he was 3 months old, and I decided I'm going to prove to my husband, who was my ex at the time, I'm going to prove to him I could do all this on my own. I'm going to show him that every time he told me that I didn't do nothing around the house, I didn't do nothing, that he was paying the rent and all that kind of stuff. When we're in arguments, saying things we hurt to each other, I'm going to prove him wrong. I was out for revenge. I was out for just to prove him wrong and show him I could do it, you know? So I got a house with a friend who had 3 other children at the time. And I figured it was going to be a mommy and a friend and the kid house, you know. So a week into it, my friend told me, you know, I just got into this relationship with this dude, and I'm going to move in with him. And at the time, me and my best friend were married to brothers, and we separated together. We were best friends. We stayed connected. Well, she was struggling with substance use, and I was opening up to the person who was moving in with me. I told her, you know, we should try to help her. Well, when she fell out on me, she said, you should try to help her. And I did. And out of spite, I moved in somebody who I know used substances, but it was somebody my husband didn't like. So I moved her in just to get back at him. You know, a lot of my story, a lot of my mess is revenge. My 4th step, revenge. I said this to a couple of people in this room, but there's no such thing as revenge. It only hurts you. Revenge, the best revenge is moving on and forgetting. Not forgetting, but just making right and moving on. So at 26, I started coping with alcohol. When I had the house, okay, a week into me moving in, my new roommates, I wanted to have a barbecue. Had the whole nine yards, tri-tip,
full course meal, two tri-tips, and I did have alcohol. And the people, the company I had, my roommates had, were using other substances. And at the time, I was wanting to drink because I had to share custody. By that time, my husband had gotten every other weekend with my boys. And so the boys would be gone on the weekend, and I just want to party and, you know, kind of forget what was going on, cope with it. And so I had that barbecue and had a ice chest full of beer, and instead of drinking the beer, I ended up using the substances with everybody in my room. So before I did it that night, in my head, this is what I was thinking is, you know, the only addict I had in my life was my uncle, who had been in and out of prison all my life. And I remember him always telling my mom, you don't know what it's like, so don't tell me nothing. You know, so I was figuring, I'm going to try this substance with my sister-in-law, and we're going to quit together, you know? Didn't happen. Once I started, I never stopped for 3.5 years, you know? Not the only time I wasn't using was when I was sleeping or at my mom's with my children, and I was usually sleeping at my mom's when I went there. So eventually, I felt like a lost loner. No kids. Let me rewind. I ended up losing my house 2 months into it after the whole partying scene was going on. And I couldn't admit to my family. You know, I told my family we're doing illegal activity. I need you to come get my kids. Not, I'm using drugs. Can you come get my kids? I need to sleep, or I'm using anything like that. I ended up losing the place about a month into me not having my house. At this time, keep in mind, my mom's battling cancer, my dad's having heart attacks and strokes, and I'm pushing my kids off to them. And when my mom's calling me and telling me she's tired and she needs my kids picked up, you know, anybody know YG, the rapper? So she calls me and she tells me one day, she's like, hey, I'm tired, I need to bring the kids to you. And I'm like, no, I don't want to hurt nobody, I just want to party. And that was in my custody papers when my husband served me, and I felt horrible because I figured my kids seen it, heard it, and it wasn't real. You know, I was double-minded, rattling on. You know what I mean? I didn't really mean that to my mother that day, and I didn't really mean that about my kids. And instead of accepting that and taking responsibility and explaining that like I just did to you guys, I blamed my mom for that. How could you tell him that? You're the reason that he took my kids from me. How dare you? You know? Stupid. I ended up lost, loner, no kids, no family. I didn't care about life. I didn't care about nothing, you know. As I said earlier, my mom worked her ass off to support us. And I was raised to work and play. I was playing, but I wasn't working, you know. And so I started participating in criminal activity. I hurt everyone I loved, you know. I didn't understand why my family was so hurt by my using, because I justified it by this. I don't take it home, you know. I don't have anybody at their house when they're not home or anything like that. So how does it affect them? This is me. I'm the one going through it. Nobody understands. But yet my mom's sitting there with cancer. And my stepdad is going through surgeries and heart attacks, and I'm being selfish. So it didn't take me long to become a criminal. I ended up running from the cops. When I had my first warrant, that's when my husband took me to court and took custody. In my mind, I was justifying this. How dare you take my kids? While you knew I had a warrant, I was opening up to them. But really, it was a little bit of everything. that was going on, but in my mind, that's all I could see. You know, I felt betrayed from the streets. I felt betrayed by my family. I was just lost. January 2018, I lost one of my roommates that I moved in when I started my drug use, who I started my drug use with. I lost her to an overdose of heroin. And at the time, with everything that happened in life, let me back up a little bit. At 16, I started developing a relationship with my father, my biological father. My brother helped with that. That was the night before the blackout for me when I was 16. I started building this relationship with them. And at 17 and a half, he got diagnosed with cancer. And he lasted about 9 months. And he passed because he wouldn't give up substance. And at that point on, I resented God. My God, okay? Just so you guys know, my higher power is God. And I'm going to share a lot about him. Like the gentleman who introduced me said, God does for me what I can't do for myself, okay? So when my friend overdosed on heroin, and I didn't believe in, I resented God. I still believed in him. I used to say, this is hell we're living in, and when we die, we're going to heaven. That used to be my sayings, okay? And so when she passed away, because she passed away of heroin, I called her my dark angel, and I started reading the Bible. And when it talks about Christ, Jesus taking away our sins, I put that as she took away my using, because that's the first person I used with as well. That's what, you know, started making me read the Bible. I would be sitting there using, reading the Bible, sketch people out. I didn't have to take myself away from people, places, and things, because I was sitting there using, reading the Bible, and they're like, hey, we got to go. You know, they didn't want to be around all that. So, like I said, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. So, after that happened, even though I'm reading my Bible, I'm fighting that every day I'm telling myself tomorrow or when I fall asleep, the next day I'm not going to use. And it's crazy because I would go to sleep and I would have a dream and it was like my life was perfect. I was back home with my kids and my husband. And then I'd wake up and reality would hit me and I'd say, F this, and I'd go right back. You know, if it was a liquor store or if it was somebody using first that I could hit, that's where I was going. April 19th, 2018, I had a possession of a stolen truck for about 30 days. I used to say it was my stolen truck. I'm growing. I had possession of a stolen truck, and I was getting ready to go commit a crime. And at first, we wanted to stop and hit the cigarette casino shop and put money on a river. And as I'm pulling out, the person who owned that vehicle attacked the vehicle, grabbed the steering wheel. I couldn't get away. So I opened the door, and I took off, and I ran, and I got away. But the two people and the vehicle told on me. I stayed running. So 4/19/2018, and for the next 3 days, I started realizing, let me back up. Before I left the house that day where I was at and got in that vehicle, I sat there and prayed, and I asked God to show me if I was doing something wrong as I'm getting ready to go commit a crime. And so when that happened, and I got picked up from where I ran to, I just started sneezing, and I kept sneezing for like 3 days straight. If I sat up, I was sneezing. So I'd lay down and use and drink. It would come back to me, and I would think about, I read something in the Bible about sneezing. I never knew what it was up until about a week ago. And it's like repentance. I can't think of the word right now, but it's like a resurrection. There's something else. But anyway, so that stayed in my mind. You know, those Bible readings, even though I was using, it still stuck there. And so by 4/24, I was able to take it one day at a time and achieve some sobriety. reading the Bible every day, staying at my boyfriend's house at the time. Who would run everybody, his mom and uncle would run everybody off for me. You know, every time they came and knocked at the door or heard him pulling up, she would run out there and tell him to leave. 3 months sober, my boyfriend at the time, he was also sober and got a job and decided to purchase a dirt bike from one of our old buddies, which was a stolen dirt bike. And so at 3 months sober, he was getting chased and the cops came and raided the house and asked my name, and I tried to use my ex-sister-in-law's name, who apparently had been gotten arrested the night before. She's like 300 pounds. I said, yeah, I'm Gloria Kish, sorry. And the whole time they're cuffing me, I'm just zoning out, like I'm sober and I'm doing, this is the end though, I'm sober, you know? And my boyfriend's mom at the time, all she could keep saying is, ask for a program, get a sponsor, don't waste no time, you could do this, you know? She's also been in recovery before and she has multiple years sober right now. So I did just that. I ended up getting questioned about my stolen vehicle, again, the stolen vehicle. And, you know, I asked for attorney and lawyered up, and I bought it twice. It got thrown out. And the second time, I was watching my mom come to every court date, battling cancer in the heat in her Camaro that had no AC in the summer. And I was reading my Bible while I was in jail. That's what helped me with my cravings and cigarettes and stuff like that, too. And I was reading my Bible and one night when I got back to the unit, and I'm thinking, you know what? God knows I was there. Whether these cops could prove it, these courts could prove it, God knows I was there. And I'm working on God's will right now. I'm doing the God walk. And I need to take accountability for it, you know? So the next day I go to court, or a couple days, I go to court and I'm trying to talk to my attorney before court, and they end up calling me, he calls me in and he's like, hey, I got good news. The DA wants to offer you time served and receiving stolen property. Now keep in mind, yeah, it was a felony, but they told me time served and I had already committed to a program for my other charges. So I was like, all right, bet, you know, I'll go. And so, I was released. Well, I ended up going back to the unit, was getting released that night, and Kings County picked me up for a 11-550 that I ran from for 2 years. And they wanted to give me, I'm running out of time. They wanted to give me 3 years of their county on top of my 6 years prison sentence if I didn't complete the 90 days at New Visions. There was no way in hell that was I wasn't gonna do it, you know? There wasn't nothing. And so I went into New Visions, and I'm gonna have to fast forward a little bit. I had a couple spiritual awakenings. The one that sticks out the most, I was at New Visions. I kept begging my mom to bring me my boys. I had supervised visits with my mother every other weekend, but my husband didn't want my kids brought to New Visions, and so one night, I asked my counselor, can I please get on the phone, call my mom, and set something up? I got to see my kids. I'm ready to go off on all these girls inside this house. I don't want to be here, you know. And so, finally, my mom agreed to bring in them on a Sunday. And there's some other things that happened in the house. My best friend today, I wanted to fight her that day. She's also my coworker today. Yep. And so I go to my room to go pout and read my Bible and whatnot. I might have had a phone in my boob or something like that. And so I go to my room, and one of the staff at the time comes up and says, hey, we're going to church tonight. It's optional. If you want to go, you're welcome. I said, you know what? I need to, or else I'm going to go off on these girls and I'm going to regret it. So I need to go. So I went. And the songs they were praising and stuff, it reminded me of my grandma. Because, you know, my grandma used to take me to church a lot. And I get home and I beg the counselor to call my mom and see what the hell happened. I was refreshed, but I was still mad. And I call her, and my grandma's boyfriend had passed away, so my mom was there accompanying her. I felt like a jackass. I felt hurt and rejected, and then I felt guilt and shame real fast. So that was my spiritual awakening for me. And then, so the last time I was in these rooms, like a week later, I was looking at jail time. And I listened to my share. Let me stop about me. I ended up working my steps, working through my resentments, and realizing all my part, and able to let go of all those grudges, resentments. I also was able to let go of my guilt and my shame, because then I understood why. You know, I also went through my substance use, and I used to always say that I was never going to use drugs because of what how my dad acted and how he wasn't in my life. If I hate drugs, I will never do it. You know, and I ended up that person. And now I understand my dad did love me. He did care, but those drugs overpowered him. You know, he never found me through. And I wish he would have. Because he'd still be 11-year cancer fighter like my mom right here in the front row. So working the steps, I ended up following Nina. She was a counselor at the time, and I followed her, and I ended up becoming a counselor. I was interning at the time when I went back to court to prove to the courts that I completed my program, that I was volunteering, that I was practically living there, and I thought I was going to be running out of the rooms. And my brother Mike took me to court that day, and I remember he set his hat next to him, and when I walked into the courtroom, I sat down and they said I had a bench warrant, and I'm like, oh crap. And so they mentioned it. It was for welfare fraud for 2 years because my husband held down a job. And when he took custody, I figured he has a job. He ain't going to do nothing. I'm just 1 month at a time. Just this month. And it ended up 2 years. Okay. So it caught up to me. I'm a year and a half sober at that time. And I was, I come up to share and I was looking, you know, from the day I shared a week away, I was going to jail. And I was scared, and Rita pulled me out of that. She said, girl, God didn't do everything in your life, and he's done for you to go back to that life. You're going to go in there, you're going to spread the message, and you're going to help people. And I did. She put that little fire underneath me, and I was telling girls, you know, ask for a program, just like my boyfriend's mother at the time of my addiction. And so right before that as well, in August, I started co-parenting with my husband and helping to get my youngest in school, and we ended up back together. So, you know, this program helped me. When I went into New Visions, I'll never talk to that guy again. He's this, that, this, that. My kids are right here, so I'll tell you exact words. You know, but it was all his problem. He took my kids away from me. You know, there's more to my story, but I'm running out of time, so I'm going to try to cut it all short. But I ended up getting not only my boys back, who I knew I was going to get back if I stayed sober, but I also got my husband and my daughter back. That's right. Like I was saying, just real fast, when I closed up the meeting the last time, I said, and you guys gave me that, these rooms gave me that fight to come back, and I said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to fill this room up 10 times more. And I only see 3 chairs available.
Thank you. If you guys come into this meeting,
anybody who's came up here and shared before, your message has got me to where I am here. Even the girls in the house, sorry, gentlemen, you're out of this one, but the girls in the house sharing their experiences, even today, triggers my own character defects and makes me look at my own character defects and changes them. I have to go home and apologize to my husband and write. You know what I mean? But I'm L'Oreal, grateful recovery alcoholic, and thank you all for coming.